It's because if they do not launch from this planet at a particular time, at a particular day, to get the right orbit, to get the right course, that they are going to have to reformulate everything in order to hit Mars. That if they are just 1 degree, 1/2 of a degree off of an angle, off of a position, in the way that they launch, in the way that they orbit, in the way that they begin to move towards Mars, that they're going to miss it by miles, maybe hundreds or thousands of miles. He said just by just a quarter of an inch difference, by the time it gets to the place where they think Mars should be, it's going to be thousands of miles off. And he said, that's how your life can be. Think about it. But he didn't say much else than that. So I took that into my prayer, and I began to look at that, and I began to think, my God, that's really true. That if we set a goal towards something, we've got to really set a goal towards something, get our course laid out, and then do course correction if need be, just like they do in space. They will do alterations to the course with the jet engines or the engines to get everything lined up so that it does get back on course if it's off. And we have to do the same thing. And so as I was in my prayer and I was getting an understanding about this course correction and getting things lined up and keeping our eye on the goal, I also realized that in that this rewrite, this changing words in our consciousness can alter our course. We can set a goal that we have set for ourselves in life and have every intention of getting there, but by saying not, somewhere in ourselves or in our discussion about our goal, I don't know how to, I'm not sure how I'm going to get there, I'm not sure I'm worthy of this, I'm not able to do this, or whatever it might be, just this one little word can throw everything off course. And we're going to miss it. We're going to be way off in another experience, way away from what we intended to be in, because of a single word throwing us off course constantly, taking us back off course. We may be course correcting and say, no, I want this goal, I want this thing in my life, I want my life to unfold this way now. But if we don't bring everything into alignment to support that action, we're still going to miss it. So it really is true. We can raise our hand and go rewrite, but we're also the writers of the script. We're not just the actor on the stage. We wrote the play. So as we raise our hand for rewrite, we also have to then move into a different statement of writer and rewrite what the actor is going to say on the stage. But then we have to stay true to this new rewrite. We have to start living and saying exactly what the writers have now given you to read and to speak. And that's the key, is to ever remember the new words, the new sentence, the new statement, the new direction that this script has taken because of this rewrite that we've done. So as I was listening to Brian talk, I just brought all that memory back of my dream about Mannix and the letter coming in and my uncle picking me up and going out and watching all this. And it was amazing. I was out there for 5 days. I got to watch the whole thing from beginning to end, watch them go through, and you know, they would rehearse one day, then they would set it up on the stage the next and walk through it. Then the next day they would do the filming. Then they would do some editing and refilming of things, and then they were done. And it was just quite amazing to watch how that was taking place. But this whole thing of the rewrite, I mean, I went out there and I learned so much, not about how they film TV shows, but about life and about my life. And so I began to bring that back into my own life and began to look and see what I would like to rewrite for myself. And so I just began to make some minor changes in my attitude about myself, about others, about how I was participating in life or not participating in life. And it began to help me to have a different approach to the way I was living, the way I was being. But it also helped me to realize that this whole statement about being responsible for your thoughts and your feelings, your actions and reactions, are true. It is so true. We have to be responsible. We have to be aware. We have to pay attention. Why did I just say that? Well, it's just the way I've always said it. That's the way my mom and dad said it. So that's the way I say it. Well, maybe that's not going to work for me now. Maybe I need to start paying attention and do things different. Find out what is my way, not their way. But then I have to keep reinforcing that. That means I've got to pay attention and pay attention to what it is that I'm saying in every given moment. Be responsible for my words. Be responsible for my thoughts and my feelings that stimulate me into speaking those words. You have to go to the root, to the seed of things in your consciousness in order to promote change. If you promote change on the surface, for a moment, you see change. But the seed that causes whatever patterns stir within you, deep within, that finally surface and come out on the stage, are what needs to be changed. So by being aware of your thoughts and your feelings, you begin to see the root of your words that you speak, that you think, that you act in and react in. And you can begin to make change at a very deep level. But that also means being responsible for every thought, for every feeling, for every action, for every reaction. And it means paying attention. What am I doing now? Why am I saying this now? Why am I acting this way? Why am I reacting this way? Why do I feel this way about this person? Why do I say these things and think this thing about this person? Why do I do this to myself? Then you can begin to take charge and truly rewrite the script. In the play, in the TV series, they could change one line and it changed the flow, and it changed a lot of the lines in the script because of it, to get to this new outcome. And they had to learn all the new lines. The thing is, with the actors on the stage, they just had to repeat it one time, get it right, and then it was done. But our stage and our play goes on a lot longer than an hour, than 2 hours, than one day. It's a lifetime event. So we have to ever memorize the new rewrite and keep on course, and ever bring back the new statement, ever remember the new way that we're going to be doing this. No, 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 you're not going to go to stage left, now you're going to go to stage right. No, 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 you're not going to sit down now, you're going to be standing and walking towards the audience. And everything changes. And then we have to remember this new change and keep doing it the new way all the time. No, no, you're not going to sit down again. Remember, you're walking towards the audience again. Yes, I know you did that before, but we changed the whole thing. So now you don't sit down. You keep walking towards the audience during these moments of conversation. And you begin to live your life anew. And it's challenging because it's easy to go into old habits. It's just so easy just to get comfortable in these old clothes of our thoughts and our feelings and just live in them. And we don't want to put on new, fresh, starched clothes that are stiff, that aren't broken in yet, shoes, clothing. And that's what new ideas are. They're uncomfortable to us. They aren't familiar. We've got to break them in to where we get them into use in our life in a comfortable way. But once we do that, then they become the new clothing. They become the comfortable fit. It's just a matter of doing it on a regular basis to have that happen. And it's funny because since we've been home, I love to feed the deer in the morning. And they often will come up in the morning and stand around out by the garage waiting for me to finally decide to go out and feed them. So lately I've been watching, and there's this one doe that has decided that she's taking things into charge. So she's changed her pattern. No longer is she just standing out by the garage, standing there watching, staring, waiting for the garage door to open. It's almost like somebody, like a little kid, willfully trying to, you can open. You know, it's watching her. She just stands there and would just stare at the garage door until it opens. She'd go, okay, see, I made it happen. And that's what my thoughts were in my mind anyway. Because it would open, she'd just like, oh, yes, it opened. But now she's gotten into a new pattern. Now she walks over to the window where I meditate. And she stands at the window and she's looking in. And she sees me sitting over at the chair and she just stands there and just stares at me in the chair now. And I'll be meditating and all of a sudden I'll be aware of it. And I'll open my eyes and sure enough, I'll look over and there she is. She's staring at me and I'm staring at her. And I can hear her say, you're going to get up and come out and give us some corn now, aren't you? So that's been going on for several days now since we've gotten home. And every day, 6:15, she's there. I mean, it's just, she doesn't have a clock. I don't know how she knows the time. But 6:15, she's at the window and she's looking around like this, you know, looking in. And so I decided I'd do something different this morning. I said, I'm not going to just get up out of a new habit that she's teaching me. I'm going to do this different. I'm not going to get into this habit pattern. Oh, yes, you're at the window. You're looking at me. Okay, I'll get up and go to feed you now. Because they're habitual. Animals are really habitual. And for her to change her habit pattern is really quite remarkable. Because animals don't change habit patterns easily unless we demonstrate to them to change it. But she did this on her own accord. So I wasn't going to let her to teach me new habits. So I stood there and I looked at her and I said, yeah, I know you want me to feed you in a little bit, not right now. And she looked and she looked around the room again like this and then she looked back over at me like, okay, it's time now. But I didn't do it. So she walked away and a little while later she came back and with her came her a two-year-old buck that's her one of her children, one of her kids. And he came up with her. And he stood behind her, and she's looking in the window, and he's looking at me like, you know, what's going on? And so she walked away, and he walked up, and you could hear his ears hitting the window because he got too close, and he was, like, flapping against the window. And he startled himself, and he looked at me, and he backed up, and she came back and said, okay, we're both here now, you know, in a way. And so I said, oh, okay, I'll come out and feed you. So now I'm curious to see if they both show up again tomorrow or if he comes first, what happens. But it's interesting to witness even an animal in their animal nature changing the habit in order to get better service. Well, you know, we have two things going on with us. We have our animal nature and we have our spiritual nature. Our spiritual nature wants to do things new and fresh all the time. Because it is just that way. It's new and it's fresh. Every moment is new. It's a great new opportunity. This is the time. This is the moment. Because right now, in this moment, God is present. And if we'll just pay attention to this moment, we can be aware of God. We can be aware of our soul. We can be aware of God in our soul. We can wake up. And the soul knows that. So it wants to ever be fresh and new in the moment. But the animal nature of us is very habitual. It likes routine. It likes habit. And we settle into those patterns very easily. Because we can relate more to our physical form and to the animal nature of our physical form than we can relate to our own soul and to the spiritual frequency of that. Why? Because the soul in the physical levels is very subtle. The soul is not physical in nature. It is spiritual. That's why it needs a physical form to have experience here. When we get caught up into the physical form as soul to have experience here, we also get caught up in all the things and all the elements that are physical in nature, including the animal habitual nature. Pay attention today how you leave here, how you get in the car, how you drive, how you go eat, how you eat, what it is you order. Pay attention to how you do the rest of the day. Pay attention, especially in the morning when you wake up, how you wake up. What's your attitude when you wake up? What is the routine of the day as you wake up, as you get up and start the day? And see if you don't find that over this next week, you begin to see a pattern of the animal habitual nature running in you. Those are the things that you might want to just begin to look and see. Rewrite, you know, I'm going to get out of bed on the other side of the bed. I'm going to sleep on the other side of the bed. I'm going to do this before I brush my teeth, rather than brush my teeth and then do this. And just change one or two things. Just one sentence or even one word in the sentence can change the whole script. So the change of one action in a day can change the whole day, because it can change your attitude. Because if you brush your teeth before you do this other thing, your whole thought pattern's now been thrown off. I will often shave before I brush my teeth. And there are certain things that I think about when I'm shaving that don't go into when I'm brushing my teeth. Other things are going on inside of me when I'm brushing my teeth. So if I change the pattern, which I do, I try to do them different almost every day, change it around, then I'm ever staying more present with my thoughts and staying current rather than just going to the old pattern. And it's an amazing process to just do something that simple and then to pay attention to what takes place inside. It's about what's inside going on, not about outside. It's not about changing the routine out here in the world so much as it's about getting aware of what is the routine going on inside and changing that. The script that you want to change is not about the patterns of how you live the day physically in action here, but it's about rewriting the script of what it is you're saying inside yourself. You know, Paul said, I believe it's not what you do with the body, but what you do in the body. And that's really true right in this statement. What are you doing inside? How are you running things habitually inside? What do you say when you look in the mirror? What do you say when you get behind the wheel? What do you say when you go to order a dinner or a lunch or a breakfast? What do you say when you're with your loved ones? What do you say when you're with your boss? What is the attitude and the statements that are running inside of you in all those situations? And is there something you want to change? Is there a new course that you could set for yourself? And I have found that the easiest way for me to promote change is to bring God into it all. The moment you bring God into everything, the moment changes. The script changes. The wording changes. If I'm upset with somebody and I find myself going into my old habit patterns inside, running stuff on me, running stuff on them, all I have to do to rewrite that script is say, wait a minute, where is God in them right now? Who is God in there? What is God bringing to me to learn from them, in them, through them? If you bring God into the moment, then the whole script is changed. The whole attitude is changed. The whole approach is changed. And the whole play of the day, the script of that day, is altered, changed into a whole new way of existence. And if you keep changing every moment of every day, or at least a few moments of every day, you're going to begin to see how you live your life and the script will be different and the outcome will be different. And you'll find yourself being able to keep course correcting, bringing yourself back on course to where you, all of a sudden you begin to move towards the goals that you've set for yourself. Or you'll be able to change your goals very easily and say, well, you know what? Now I know I don't want that. Now I know I don't need that. I needed that before when I was doing this whole habitual pattern and I needed to feed the habit. But now I don't need to feed the habit, so therefore I don't need this goal anymore. So I can let go of that and then I can see where this is going to take me. Or I can set a new goal for myself that lines up to what's really present now. So, when you hear us say you're responsible for your thoughts and your feelings, your actions and your reactions, you really are. And if you want change in your life, this is how you do it. If you want something different, then make it different. Say it different. Believe it different. Create a new attitude. And things will be different. Maybe they'll just be different in you. Maybe nothing in the world out here will ever change. You'll still be with the same group of people, family, friends, associates. You'll still be driving the same car. You'll still be taking the same route. But everything will be different because your attitude will have changed. Your attitudes toward the people, your attitudes towards the things in your life, your car, your home, and your attitude about how you get to where it is you're going in your life will have changed. And it's a matter of connecting back into the truth of who you are as spirit, as soul. The soul of you is perfect and whole right now. And the essence of your soul is loving. And that's the truth of who God is in you. But in that mix of the movement of loving is all these aspects, all these attributes of God that dwell within that movement of loving. Joy and peace and gratitude, enthusiasm, creativity, forgiveness, acceptance, understanding, wisdom, truth. All these and all so much more is also dwelling within that movement of the divine loving in you as soul. And as you begin to live a new attitude, these new attributes, these new aspects of God that dwell within you will also begin to manifest in you. And all of a sudden, your attitude inside will change. All of a sudden, you'll have more joy. You'll have peace. You'll have enthusiasm for life. Not because things in the world changed, but because the world inside changed, your attitude changed, your approach to life changed, all because of one thing. You called for a rewrite, and you, as the scriptwriter, changed the words and changed the course of the whole movement of the rest of the play. So maybe you have to call for a rewrite every fifth word for a while. Do it. It'll be interesting if you really can pay attention that long and that well. Well, rewrite that. Nope, don't want to say it that way. Didn't mean that. This is what I meant. And that's also a key. You don't just say, I'm not going to do it this way. Because the habitual animal nature in us needs to know, well, then what way are we doing it? If we're not doing it this old way, I need to know how we're going to do it now. Tell me the new pattern so I can begin to live the new habit. I need a habit. Don't break my habit and not give me a new one. Have you ever seen people give up cigarettes and they're all over coffee and sugar? Because we need a habit. We need to fill the gap. Give up one habit, fill it up with another. Well, if we don't set a course of what it is we're going to do with this energy of this habitual nature that's been running us to get a cigarette all the time, then the animal in us is going to go, well, if we're not going to get cigarettes, we're going to get sugar and coffee. We're going to get this, we're going to get that. Because I need something to habitualize myself on. What we have to do is take charge now and say, I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to do it a new way. And then you may have to experiment for a while and say, I'm going to try some new ways of doing it. I'll see if this works, if this will be a new routine. And maybe this will become the new habit that's really more supportive and in line with what I want to be, how I want to be in my life. And if that doesn't work, then you change it again. And you just keep doing that. But the key is to always bring forward the new pattern, the new words, the new action, the new motion, the new way of doing life. inside as well as out. And then your life is changed, is transformed. And it'd be simple and wonderful if all you had to do was change a sentence in your life one time on one page of the script, and then everything else actually changed, and all you had to do is just keep on course with what's now been rewritten. But unfortunately, we don't have that script in front of us to always be reminded that the pages have changed, the words have changed. I've got to read this very carefully now in order to stay on the new course of the unfolding play. I can't revert back to what I remembered yesterday from the old script, because everybody on stage is going to go, what? Where are you going? What are you saying that for? And so the key is to pay attention and be responsible for our thoughts and our feelings, our actions and reactions. How many times is he going to say that today? And really do that now. If we want to truly spiritualize ourselves in the world, if we want to wake up and live as spiritual beings in the world, this is how we do it. We take action. We take responsibility. We stay present in the moment and do what's present in the moment. And if we don't like it, change it. If we don't like what somebody else is saying to us, we are not responsible for their thoughts and their feelings, their actions and their reactions within them. But we are responsible to what that does to us. So we might just have to say inside of ourselves, well, I'll listen, but I don't have to take it in. I don't have to begin to be responsible for them, and I don't have to be taking in what they want me to take in and believe to be mine. Does that make sense to you? And that's what we often do. Oftentimes, somebody will start complaining to us about something, and we immediately go into responsibility. What am I going to do? How am I going to fix this for them? Or we go into feeling as though, how am I responsible for this? What do I have to do now inside myself? I need to change my own self. Maybe I need to start thinking the way they do so that they'll feel good about themselves. Oh, yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? I mean, this is just a miserable life. You know, I didn't think that 5 minutes ago, but yeah, it's just a miserable life, isn't it? And I just hate the way that they're doing this government and on. And then we walk away feeling really depressed, as they were when they walked up to us and started sharing. And then the rest of the day is in depression, their depression that we've taken on and made our own. We've got to be responsible, and we can't take on other people's situations, and we can only change our own. We can't change theirs. You can't change their attitude about the government or about the world or about their wife or about their husband or about their life. You can only be present with them and share with them your own perspective, your own way of living, and then see how to move on after that conversation and continue living the life as you want to live it. I found years ago I would be doing just this. I'd be doing the best I could to create new attitudes inside myself. And it was great until I left the house. And I'd get to work. And everybody started coming in with this new attitude to present to me, to give to me. And I would take them on. And I'd be living them. And I'd be upset. And I'd be in anger. And I'd be in frustration. And I'd wonder, how did I get here? I started out so good. I got in the car. I drove out. The garage door closed. I pulled in the parking lot. Everything was wonderful. What happened? Well, I listened to them. Not only did I listen to them, I took in what they had to say, and I made it my own. And by making it my own, I began to live in their separation, in their pain, in their attitude. So I did something to keep reminding me. We had these pads of paper at work because it was a frame shop, and you had to always be figuring out how much this frame was going to cost and how much footage we needed and whatever. So we had paper and pens everywhere. And so I took a piece of paper, took a pad, and I, on pieces of paper, I wrote down, what is your attitude? What is your attitude? What is your attitude? On several pieces of paper. And I just put them either under the glass on a countertop or in just different places and left them there to remind me. I didn't even need it for other people, but that's how they took it. And very soon after I put all these pieces of paper out, somebody came up to me, actually the wife of the owner came up to me, and she said, so what is this thing about what is my attitude? Why do you care about what my attitude is? I said, what? She said, what's this note over here about my attitude? I go, oh, no, I'm sorry. That's about a reminder to me about what is my attitude right now. And I thought, oh, I've got to be good about this. So I said, you know, I'm just trying to really be careful on how I handle customers. So I want to be aware of my attitude with customers so that I always am in a good space with them. She said, oh, I like that. She said, tell everybody else about this. So it worked. But for a moment, I thought I was going to be going around and rolling all these up and throwing them out just minutes after I put them out. But after that, it was the reminder to everybody about paying attention to your attitude with the customer. Well, it worked for me then because I had a constant reminder, not just about the customer, but about daily life. They just had to deal with the customers and their attitude towards them. But it was fun because one day I walked in and she had typed out on these hard pieces of board, watch your attitude. What is your attitude with the customer? Pay attention to your attitude. Three statements. And she pinned them and nailed them in certain places throughout the store. Even back in the area where we had all the molding for all the framing that we had. We had over 1,000 samples of framing molding, and we had at least 100 feet of each one in stock. It was a huge warehouse. And she had posted them back there so that we went even back there to just check and make sure we had enough footage for whatever we were doing that would even be reminded to come back up with the right attitude. And I loved it. I thought, now this is the universe supporting me. I couldn't decide, well, I'm not going to do this and roll it up anymore and throw them away. Because now it was the statement of the store. It was the way that we were supposed to approach our life with the customer. So see if you can begin to get the universe to support you in that way. It's a lot of fun when it does. And I now have that even running more so with this fawn and the doe. As they come up to the window every day, I'm reminded of how they even can change their habit patterns on their own. I didn't change it. She did. She decided she wasn't going to stand at the garage door anymore looking and staring and going, open, 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 come on, open, 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 so we can get some corn, open, open, open. She decided, no, I know where they are. He's in that room over there. I see him moving around in there. He's going to have to come out and feed me. I'm going to come over there and go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Feed me, feed me, feed me. And the animal in me hears her. The animal in me responds to her. You know, and isn't that true? When we see an animal, the animal nature in us goes, ooh, let's play. Let's pay attention. Let's do something with this. So honor that animal nature in you. Don't put it down. Don't judge it. Don't make it wrong. It's a wonderful part of your life experience as a soul here. You took it on because it is going to serve you. It's going to be the success of who you are as soul in this creation for experience. So love the animal nature. Never suppress it. Never make it wrong. But see how to have it work with you, for you, to your betterment. And that's in all ways of the animal nature, of this physical beingness. If you make everything right, it will all work for you in a wonderful way. If you put judgment on anything, you then have suppressed the flow of your own creative experience of that loving expression that is soul, that is you. And you will find that that part will work against you. And it will not support you into the fulfillment of yourself. And that's what this is all about. The soul fulfilling itself in this physical form, through physical experience, through this animal nature, so that it can go home to God. So love it all, honor it all. And if you don't like some of the habits that the animal nature is running, then begin to course correct them. Change the attitude inside about it. Change the pattern by which you're going to be expressing in that way. And see if you cannot begin to bring it into more of a flow that aligns with who you are as soul now. And allow yourself to live the habits that you have. Love them right now. They're serving you. If anything, they're the means by which you get through the day in a way that's comfortable and easy. I can remember I went to a retreat, and at that retreat, they made us do things differently every day for 2 weeks that I was there. We could not do anything the same any 2 days. So they changed the times when we were going to be eating. They changed the times when we could go and shower. They changed the times when we were going to be waking up in the morning. They changed the times when we were going to be meeting. Every day it was different. One day we would walk in for breakfast and they'd be serving dinner. Dinner? I don't want potatoes and roast right now at 8:30 in the morning. I wanted eggs at 7 o'clock like we had yesterday morning. What are we doing here? Oh, that's right, we're changing everything. We had to turn our toothpaste and toothbrushes in, and they gave them out to us to when we could brush our teeth so that we wouldn't be living a pattern. Get up in the morning, brush our teeth. Eat after a meal, brush our teeth. They gave it to us. They said, okay, now go brush your teeth. And they became our animal nature. But they didn't let our animal nature that they were living for us be habitualized and doing the routine. They gave us a chance to approach life very differently. And at the end of 2 weeks, I was living life so free, so happy, because everything was different. Every day was different. Every approach to every moment was different. Because it was like, ooh, what am I going to discover today? What are we going to do different today? And it was so funny because I was enjoying it so much that one of the people that worked there came up to me and said, Jim, you know, you've got to go and pack. I went, what? And I thought I was being kicked out. They said, well, you're leaving today. We've got to get you to the airport in a couple of hours. You've got to go pack. You're supposed to have had your suitcase in the office and ready to go this morning. And I went, it's been 2 weeks. I've got to go home. And I was like, oh, no. I was shocked. I couldn't believe. And I could find, even as I was at the airport and getting on the plane, that the old habit patterns were creeping. I could feel them. I could just feel them like taking over. And the joy was being slowly squashed because the habit patterns of the old way were coming up. And I noticed it right away when I got to the airport. And one of the first things I would do once I got into the area where the planes were going to be taking off from the gates is to go get a Coke. Got to have a Coke in my hand. And so I walked on in. Back then we didn't have security. Walked on in, went to the gate, and I went, oh, got to go get a Coke. And as I was going to get the Coke, I went, wait a minute, what am I doing? Why? Who said that in there? I have to have a Coke in order to be at the gate. That's the feeling it felt like. And so that's when I got home and started changing my patterns about how I was eating, what I was eating, the routine of things. And it was just a lot of fun to pay attention. And then to find new habits that would support the new me. So, to support the new habit of our action here today, we'll go into meditation right now. We have a half hour. Isn't that perfect? And I'm sure somebody who, we have a lot of people now that listen to these talks regularly. And I'm sure they're going, you know, I know some people actually skip past disc one, section one, because it's all the meditation, and go to the where we talk. And so they've already gone from the first section to second section online to listen to the beginning of the talk, and they're going, well, they got this mixed up. You know, he's in the middle of a talk here. You know, but it's Brian. He always talks first, but what's going on here? You know, and they're going to be searching all over the place for the beginning and the ending. And then they're going to, I know we're going to get an email going, so, you got the disc switched. You got to get them rewritten.
Make sure when it goes on the website, the part three is the meditation at the end.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to hear the feedback.
I'm sure we're going to hear some. It'll be fun.
Rewrite. I can see everybody now. That's a new one. Rewrite.
All the animal habitual patterns going, but I like it the old way better. I like it on Tuesday nights, not Sundays. I like hamburgers, not hot dogs. Okay, we'll go into meditation.
Maybe we can do a different, not do meditation. Not. That's one habit I'll keep. That was fun today.